Like good old-fashioned smash-mouth football, right?
This is the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Brought to you in part by Yingling Lager. Respect, it's earned. Papa John's, the official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals. Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. CullenElectricCincinnati.com. Cullen Electric, wiring for today's world. Miami Valley Gaming, get ready to get lucky. The Healthcare Management Group, providing greater care for greater Cincinnati. Nixco Plumbing, choose a pro, choose Nixco. Skyline Chili, feeling good. It's Skyline time. Lycan's Energy Solutions, powered by Life. Belterra Park, one amazing place to play. Hearing Solutions, now acute hearing. Changing lives through better hearing. And by Furniture Fair. For style and flair, it's Furniture Fair. This is 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
All right, let's do this. 6:06 on News Radio 700 WLW. It is the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. We roll till 8 tonight. Lance McAllister along with the man who won a Super Bowl ring with the Indianapolis Colts. 8 years in the NFL, Rocky Boyman. A lot of ground to cover. Headlines first, then we go. News Radio 700 WLW. Bengals update. Preparation for the Colts continued today at Paul Brown Stadium. John Ross a full go for the second straight day. I think he plays on Sunday. Adam Jones a full go as well. The Colts had 11 players listed on the injury report today. Four did not practice. Seven were limited, including Lakota West product Ryan Kelly. Kickoff 1 o'clock Sunday. Best Bengals coverage begins at 9 a.m. right here on News Radio 700 WLW. NFL Thursday Night Football. Miami is at Baltimore. Catch the game on Fox Sports 1360. College football. Bearcats are off this week, so no Luke Fickell show tonight. Top 25 action has number 20 Stanford at Oregon State. 700 WLW Reds update. Finalist for the Rawlings Gold Glove Award announced today. Reds put four on the list of finalists. Tucker Bernhardt at catcher, Joey Votto at first, Adam Duvall on left, Billy Hamilton in center. Winners will be announced on November the 7th. The Reds today claimed infielder, outfielder Micah Johnson from the Braves off of waivers. 26-year-old was originally part of that Todd Frazier three-way trade. He hit .295 last year with a .386 on-base percentage, spending most of his time at AAA. World Series off day today. Series shifts to Houston for Game 5 Friday night. How about last night's Game 2 Classic? World Series record, 8 home runs by the two teams. Astros beat the Dodgers 7-6 in 11 innings. The series even at 1 apiece. Joe Girardi is out in New York as manager of the Yankees after 10 seasons. His .562 winning percentage over the last decade, the best in Major League Baseball. He's now the third manager that made the postseason this year to be fired. He joins John Farrell of the Red Sox, Dusty Baker of the Nationals. College basketball, the Miami Redhawks picked to finish sixth in the Eastern Conference of the MAC. That by a vote of the coaches and media today. Buffalo is the pick in the East to win it. Western Michigan, the pick in the West to win it. For everything else you've missed today, do this. Go to my blog at 700WLW.com. The blog is service up 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If you've got junk, if you're moving, maybe you're remodeling, they'll take care of you. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. On the blog right now, you can watch the final out of every World Series since 1967. If you missed Bronson Arroyo last night on Sports Talk, I've got the podcast along with my talk with Jeff Birding and Vin Scully in the first pitch last night at Dodger Stadium. It was spectacular. Catch up on it on the blog at 700WLW.com. All right, we're set. I've had my chopped salad, very healthy, very enjoyable. You're working on a massive piece of salmon with a baked potato. You're ready to go. Still haven't figured out what the whatever that is on top of the salmon. And Chris, did you go with the salmon tonight? No. Okay. Well,
yeah, he did go with salmon.
Yeah, and we don't. It's a. I'm going to say a buttery, garlicky butter type of thing that melts over top of that salmon. It is spectacular.
Tremendous.
You can watch Rocky eat his salmon on the Yingling Live webcam on my blog at 700WLW.com. All right, we're ready to get into it. We'll backtrack to the Steelers game. Yeah, we must. And we'll look ahead to the Colts game as well. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. 6:10, let's check traffic and weather together on News Radio 700 WLW.
From the UCL Traffic Center, UCL providing our region with the most advanced treatments for brain and spine. East 275, east to 17. The wreck's gone. You're slow from Dixie. An accident still cleaning up on southbound 75 near Freeman. That involves a car into a semi. There's a broken down semi south 71-75 in the Cutting Hill left center lane. And northbound with a bit of an onlooker delay from Kyle's to the bridge. You got an accident cleaning up Compton near Pogue Farm Road on northbound Route 4 before 747. And a wreck on Dixie at Main in Ellesmere. 71 slow King to Reagan northbound. Fields Ertle to the lateral and Taft to the tunnel southbound. 75, there's an accident on the ramp, Paddock to North 75. You are slow Mitchell to Union Center. Your next traffic update in 10 minutes. I'm Bruce Davis on News Radio 700 WLW.
Overnight tonight, mostly clear skies, a low of 46 degrees. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of 67. Then rain is expected tomorrow night. Those showers will stick around Saturday morning. Saturday's high in the upper 40s. Cloudy with a high in the upper 40s for Sunday as well. That's the forecast from your severe weather station. News Radio 700 WLW.
6:11 on News Radio 700 WLW, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. I would highly recommend spending dinner and hanging out with us tonight. We've got all things Bengals to get to between now and 8 o'clock. No Luke Fickell show tonight. I believe Mo is in from 8 to 9 tonight on News Radio 700 WLW. The Roundtable Show brought to you in part by Hawksworth Blood Centers. Hawksworth donors save lives. Who will you save? Yingling Lager. Respect. It's earned. And Hearing Solutions. Now acute hearing. Changing lives through better hearing. Rock, it was, I think I can say, it was what we feared, if not what we expected,
right,
on Sunday. And I want to take you back. I don't know if you remember do you remember a band, a group called the Talking Heads?
Yes.
Talking Heads had a song and a line. I forget the name of the song, but there was a line in the song, same as it ever was. Same as it ever was in that line. And I thought of the Bengals and Steelers because it was the same as it ever was. The Steelers dominated on both sides of the football, controlled both sides of the line, and I thought physically punished the Bengals from start to finish.
Yeah, but you're right. We've seen that story before, right? We've seen that whole scenario play out. You know, big game, physical game is going to be all that, and the Bengals come out and, you know, show some positive signs early,
yep,
and then it comes crunch time, comes time of that game when, like all games, we've got to turn it up a notch, and the pressure builds a little bit. They failed to make the plays. And, you know, offense was good in the first half, defense was bad, and then it kind of flipped for whatever reason. But the nevertheless, again, we've just... It's frustrating, right? I mean,
yep,
just to keep, you know, holding out hope that things are going to change, and we sometimes see signs they're going to change, but ultimately they don't. It's very frustrating.
You know, it's funny. I have my Twitter feed in front of me, and I just see a story from Jeremy Fowler, who covers the Steelers for ESPN, pop up, and the headline says, Le'Veon Bell explains why he gets stronger with more carries. Wow, fitting for what we're about to talk about with the Bengals,
yeah,
and Joe Mixon. Seven carries in the first half. No carries in the second half. It's been the topic all week long. And the more I've talked about it, really, the less I've understood how it could possibly have happened that a guy who was showing signs in the first half and had you in a tie game became a non-entity. The Steelers did not erase him from the Bengals game plan. The Bengals themselves erased the second biggest offensive component they have from their offense, and I just don't get it.
Lance, what would happen if Joe Mixon got 25 or 30 touches? What would happen?
I'd love to find out, Rob.
Exactly. Let's find out. Maybe he's nothing. Maybe he's terrible. Maybe he gets worse. Maybe he's the anti-Le'Veon Bell. He gets worse with more touches. But let's explore that a little bit. I mean, you and I've you know my number one rule of football,
yep,
Lance. It's think players, not plays. I'm not going to go into it all again, but again, you got these guys and they're doing well, especially a running back guy that early in the game, like Mixon, having a hot hand, looked like he was having a day. And
yep,
coaches know that. And all the years I've played, good coaches see, hey, man, this guy, for whatever reason, he's on, right? He's on, he's having a day, whether it's a receiver, whether it's a pass rusher, whether it's a guy, he's blitzing. Hey, that defensive coordinator, we're going to call his name on a blitz because he's just in the zone that day. Why would they not see that Joe Mixon, he had some negative runs, I get that, but he had some big-time positive runs, too, where he showed some game-breaking kind of ability. Why not feed him?
Ruck, I want you to take a listen to something, and I asked this of Marvin Lewis Monday night during Bengals Line, and it left me speechless. I didn't know what to say, and I want you to listen. I thought I set it up very fairly. I thought I even laid it out there on a platter for him to address. Here's what Marvin Lewis said when I asked him about Joe Mixon Monday night on Bengals Line. Coach, what would you ultimately like to see Joe Mixon do to put himself in a position for a bigger role, more opportunities in this offense?
Well, I don't know that he's going to ever get a bigger role that way. He's carrying the ball more than anybody right now, so I don't know that how the role changes that way. He's right now, he's their leading ball carrier. He's getting the ball in the run game and the pass game, so I don't know that touching the ball is going to happen any more than that when he's already the leader in those things.
I mean, that would be like saying, well, he's got a certain amount of carries that we predetermined he should get in his life, so we're going to go on the next guy. Versus Le'Veon Bell carried 32 times versus Kansas City carried 35 versus us, right?
I was left stunned by it. I don't know. I want to go a little bit deeper into that and touches and reaction to what Joe Mixon said after the game as we continue. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on News Radio 700 WLW. News Radio 700 WLW, Furniture Fair Roundtable Show.
You may find yourself living in a
what a great tune, man.
Talking Heads, baby.
In another part of the world.
How did I get there? You may
find Once in a Lifetime, the name of the song, Rock. The line that I thought of Sunday coming up. It's worth waiting for. It's a we say it, Big Dave plays it Thursday night. Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, same as it ever was. Sunday as the Bengals fall to the Steelers. The gang is all here tonight, Rock. Maddie's here. Eric is here. Clinton's here. Steeler fan Woody's here. Steeler fan Eric is here. I don't know how that happened. And where's Todd?
I saw a great play.
Our guy Todd's on the walkie-talkie tonight. He's like Secret Service. Yeah. Like the Eagle has landed. Eagle has landed. Clear the back entrance. We're bringing in the Eagle. The Eagle has landed. Joe Mixon, 7 carries, first half, 48 yards. Second half, no carries. And I want to be clear. And you referenced it, the hot hand. I think had anybody broken out in the first half, had it been Gio Bernard, we would have been saying, feed the hot hand. It happened to be Joe Mixon in this case, so keep feeding whoever it is, ride that hot hand. If they can't stop it, if he's feeling good, whoever it is, keep that guy feeling good.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that after the first week when it seemed like there was a certain amount of carries they wanted to equally give every running back. And no, I've all my years of football, I've never seen it go down like that. It's, hey, we'll try a little bit so you can get some momentum. So he's kind of in the flow of the game. Coach recognizes, hey, this guy's having a day, man. Let's get him the football. And again, it doesn't happen.
And the whole the explanation just makes my head want to explode. When Marvin talks about Jeremy Hill starting the game and starting the second half so Joe can kind of watch and get in the flow of the game, which I'm sorry, that's just,
come on,
it's a bunch of BS.
In,
it's just so ridiculous. Joe Mixon's not learning by watching the flow of the game on the sidelines. And Rocky, it really aggravates me when I saw in the second half, there's the meltdown offensively at the end of the first half. They had a 3-play, 15-second drive, gave it back to the Steelers who got points. To begin the second half, the Bengals' first possession, first carry is Jeremy Hill. To begin the second half, after all, so Bill Lazor, who'd had 2 weeks to put together a game plan to begin with, at halftime assesses what he has, sees Joe Mixon, 7 carries, 48 yards, and says, I'm going to start our first possession of the second half with a carry for Jeremy Hill, which just defies all types of logic that you would do it that way.
I would just love to be a fly on the wall of the conversations, because I feel like there's clearly people in that organization, you know, I would say Kyle Cassidy, that wants to see Joe Mixon get the ball more. But then there has to be a voice on the other side saying, well, here's why we shouldn't do that because of X, Y, Z reason. There's got to be some sort of tension going on there, right?
And look, I know there, and we'll get into after the news. Marvin talked about the maturity issue of Joe and what he said. We'll get into that. I would remind everybody what Joe said was after the game, so that can't be a reason why they, like, penalized him with no carries. I know there's some issues about how much they trust his blitz pickup, although I think the one play in question question, as it was explained to me by Lapp, it was an offensive line issue more. Joe shouldn't be left. You're not leaving Joe on Bud Dupree. No. That's not how it
Leaving to help, not
exactly,
one-on-one.
Exactly. And the, but Joe did put it on the ground. He recovered it. I get that. But, Joe, or Rocky, it is a – it's a now league, and I'm reading the notes this week from the NFL. Rookies in the NFL this year have accumulated, totaled 9,800 yards from scrimmage, which is the most in the history of the NFL through the first 7 weeks. Rookies have totaled 9,800 yards, and rookies have scored 71 touchdowns. Teams around the league aren't waiting on rookies to break. They're not easing them in. They are clearly getting the ball to rookies who are making plays to this point of the season.
I mean, again, of all the positions, too, yes. Running back is the yes. one where the longer you wait, the more the tread and the prime years is gone. So, yeah, the teams around the league are getting the ball in rookies' hands if they're playmakers. If they're not, then no, they're not.
And I know you referenced it, to get it to your best players, and I'm going to back it up again. A.J. Green and Joe Mixon had 18 touches Sunday. Bell and Brown had 48. Now, the teams had different numbers of snaps, but it equates to 30% of the Bengals' snaps went to their two best. 70% of the Steelers' snaps went to their two best.
And that's a good stat, because that takes away from the argument, well, they're just triple teaming aging. No, they're not, first of all. And even if they are, I'm sure, does that mean the Bengals are leaving Antonio Brown with single coverage all night? No, but they're finding, again, if it's not a deep route down the field, maybe it's a crossing route. Maybe it's a one step. Maybe it's a bubble screen. Maybe it's a screen pass, something, yep. Find the way to get the ball in their hands.
Well, and, Rock, I hear, again, the excuses offered up, the explanations offered up during the week. Well, the second half, Bengals only had 21 snaps. Well, the second half, the Bengals had some three and outs. They had the drive that was the interception, another drive that was an interception. Well, I got an idea, Rock. If you're going to use that as an excuse, my counter would be maybe you only had 21 snaps. Maybe you had three and outs. Maybe if you're having interceptions, you go back to Joe Mixon and say, let's settle down our offense, Joe. We've got three and outs. We're throwing it in interceptions. We're going to give you the ball and let you run. Yeah, what a concept.
Yeah, because you've shown today yes. that you have the ability to do that.
If you're an offensive coordinator.
You get more plays if you give the ball to your best guy.
Exactly right. If you're worried about three and outs, and you're throwing the ball around. In the second half, they threw it 16 of their 21 times. And I know they're going to say we were down by two scores. Again, maybe you don't fall down by two scores. Maybe you're not dealing with three and outs if you just gave the ball to Joe Mixon to begin the second half.
And I think the most frustrating part is this is what we all loved about the offense when Bill Lazor took over. It was
yes.
designed around what we've been talking about, what was missing with Ken Zampezi's offense. Get the ball, comfortable
yep.
plays, easy plays, ball in the hands of the playmakers. And it's odd that's the same thing
yes.
that's happening, though.
Yes. Let's
know.
Preview tonight's game quickly, brought to you by Carry Toyota, best in town, carrytoyota.com. It's Miami at Baltimore, fifth straight season. The two teams have matched up. Miami's 4-2, Baltimore's 3-4. The Dolphins have won 3 in a row. The Ravens have lost 4 of 5 after starting 2-0. Matt Moore will start for Jay Cutler tonight, and Joe Flacco is the 31st rated quarterback in the NFL. Joe Flacco is 31st. Much more to get to. Live entertainment here at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill every Friday and Saturday night. Tomorrow night it features Nick Netherton at 8 o'clock and Dan Verner Band on Saturday at 8 o'clock as well. Up next, I want to get into, and Marvin raised the issue of the maturity issue with Joe Mixon. I'm going to get into what Joe said and what you take out of it as a former player for what is said in terms of frustrations after a game. We'll do all that as we continue. He's Rocky Boyman. He's devouring his salmon and a baked potato. I'm Lance McAllister. It's a Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on the home of the best Bengals coverage. News Radio 700 WLW. 6:36 on News Radio 700 WLW. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. Lance McAllister, Rocky Boyman. Hey, Saturday is the top secret gift giveaway on the gaming floor here from noon to 6 p.m. Guests who earn 100 tier points on their My Choice card that day will receive a free gift while supplies last. Time to select last week's reliable player of the game, brought to you by Reliable Products, Greater Cincinnati Energy Alliance, and Pace Financing. Efficient financing for building efficiency. Go with William Jackson III, two passes defended, and the highest rated grade on the Bengals roster by our friends at Pro Football Focus. Lance McAllister, Rocky Boyman. What do you make out of Joe Mixon, after the game, in front of his locker, addressing the media, said, and I'm paraphrasing here, expressed disappointment in his lack of carries, saying Le'Veon Bell had a chance to help his team. Look at how many carries he got. Look how many carries I got. I tend to be old school along the lines of rookies are to be seen and not heard. You've been in a locker room. You've been through frustrating losses. What did you make of Joe going public with his frustration of his lack of carries, which I think everybody agreed with? Do you back him saying it publicly?
I'm fine with it because I didn't think he did it in a condescending way. It wasn't like he was, throwing stuff and flipping. I think, he asked a question and he answered. Look, I think I should have been able to touch the ball more. I don't think anything's really wrong with that. He didn't make a big deal about it. I think there's a lot of nonverbal things you look at when a statement like that is made, but I was fine with it. You? What about you?
My first option would have been for him to, the next day perhaps, go into Kyle's office, his running back coach, and express those views to Marvin's office, Bill Lazor's office, express those views. I would prefer he not say it to the media. I would prefer him, I think what took place was clear to everybody that he didn't need to be the one verbalizing it. I'd rather that stay in-house. What happens here stays here and is not articulated publicly.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it was obvious, so him backing it up wouldn't have done it. Him almost saying, I just do what the coaches tell me to do.
Now,
kind of been...
to your point, though, and I agree, and Dave Lapham backed this up and saying after the game, Dave ran into Joe at one point, and Joe had tears in his eyes, and the conversation Dave had with Joe was along the lines of Joe was crushed that he didn't get a chance to help his team. Dave didn't take it as Joe was angry, to your point. He wasn't yelling. He wasn't screaming. Right. He wasn't, I need mine. It was, man, I didn't have a chance to help my team,
out. So, and that's a big difference.
Yes, absolutely. I just would prefer that he let everybody else speak what was the obvious rather than him speak out publicly. I found this interesting, and you tell me, you've been in a locker room, and maybe I'm reading too much into this. At least I wonder how it plays. Marvin this week had Andy's back for the 4th-and-2 ridiculous throw 20 yards out of bounds. Marvin said, we need to do a better job of presenting Andy an option on the field. Marvin also dismissed Devontaze Perfect and just said it was really nothing, and yet pointed to Joe Mixon's maturity issues. My thought was, and tell me if I'm making too much of it, Rock, I wonder how everybody else in the locker room feels when Marvin backed up Andy for a dumb play and backed up Vontaze Perfect for just silliness that didn't even have to do, and yet said Joe has to work on maturity issues. Do you wonder if there were more than a few players who raised an eyebrow and said, why doesn't the coach ever call out the quarterback or Vontaze Perfect? Why is he calling out Joe, or am I making too much?
No, 100%. I think guys would say, look, fair. If you're going to, after the game, talk about reasons we lost, you can't defend a quarterback not throwing the ball out of bounds in that play. I don't care if it's Peyton Manning or Roger Staubach, whatever. It doesn't matter who they are. You can say, look, that was an awful play, and we expect more of our quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, you'd be rating. You'll go the other way, but to ignore it, heck yeah, I think players have a problem.
That was my initial.
And players, they listen to this stuff. They don't. They do. They read it. They listen to it. And hey, man, did you hear the coach the other night? He's like, goes on some tangent about Mixon, but says nothing about the quarterback throwing the ball away in a situation where you got to have it in play.
Yeah, I laugh because Marvin actually said of the Andy Dalton play, and for those who are wondering, it was 4th-and-2, about 3.5 minutes to go. They're down by 2, and Andy's rolling out on 4th down, and as the play is breaking down, he just takes it and heaves it 20 yards out of bounds. Now, I mean, at that point in the game, anything would have been better. Throwing it as far down the field as you can. Snapping it between your legs. Anything would have been better. If you just throw it down the field, maybe it's caught. Maybe there's pass interference. Maybe, hell, if it's intercepted, it serves as a punt. Anything would have been better, but he threw it out of bounds. And Marvin's response was, our guys need to do a better job of making themselves available on that play.
Well, the thing I wonder on that, Well, duh, right? But the thing I wonder on that play, and I hope I'm totally wrong on this, is that I just wonder if he looked down the field, saw there was no options, saw they weren't going to win the game anyway, and said, why the hell do I want an interception on my record? At the end of the season, no one's going to remember this game, the scenario, the play, but they are going to see an extra interception in my comm. Now, I hope that's not the case, because if it is, that's bullcrap. Right?
And you know what I wondered? I wondered if he forgot what down it was.
Or
which
even,
is
either
even
way.
More. Either one of them is bad.
The point is there's not one
yes.
scenario where you can
you're
say,
right.
okay, that makes sense.
You're right.
Nothing.
You're absolutely right. And if I'm Marvin, I mean, let's have a little bit of heightened sense of urgency and criticism here to say when your quarterback's in his seventh season, that play can't happen.
Can't happen.
I mean, I don't think that would be that. I think that's a fair statement from a coach at that point. I think other coaches would have looked and said when asked the question, what do you make of what Andy did on fourth down? You say, that can't happen. He's not a rookie quarterback. He's a seventh-year quarterback who's seen a lot. We can't have our quarterback simply throw the ball 20 yards out of bounds on fourth and two.
I mean, had Tom Brady done that, there's no way in hell Bill Belichick, with all he's accomplished, all Brady's done and Super Bowl rings, would have said, oh, that was nothing. Of course he would have called that play out for what it was, which was an excuse.
Yeah, so it just seemed odd to me that Marvin came up with an explanation for Andy, an explanation for Vontez, and
kind of... on a tangent about
exactly,
Mixon's maturity.
And exposed Mixon's
what does that have to do with anything?
Maturity issues. I just don't... By the way, and I know I heard some of your comments earlier in the week, I don't think it was a suspendable offense. The Vontez Burfict kick of the face. I just thought it was more of Vontez's silliness that just... come on, just play football.
I
it wasn't a big deal. I just thought it was silliness. Is that fair?
No, I agree. It wasn't
just play football.
Just play football. Like, you don't need it. And yeah, I guess I'm tired of the witch hunt stuff on him. But with that said, he the reality is he's a marked man and he's going to be looked at more exclusively for that sort of thing.
More to get to. Rocky Boyman, Lance McAllister, Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We are rolling Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on News Radio 700 WLW. 6:47 on News Radio 700 WLW, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Stadium will feature beer specials on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday during all Bengals games. Stadium will be raffling off everything from coolers to Bengals tickets to jerseys. Time to take a look at final look at last week's defensive player of the game, brought to you by RDI Corporation. Let RDI help you grow and protect your business. I'm going to go off the board a bit. Certainly can't pick Vontez Burfict or Geno Atkins, since they apparently didn't show up on Sunday. I'm going to go with Ryan Glasgow, the rookie out of Michigan. He had five tackles, including a tackle for a loss. Yeah, how about as the game ended, and I'm looking at my notes, and I always jot things down as the game goes on. I'm looking at it, I said, well, I don't have Geno Atkins' name on this sheet, and I only have Vontez Burfict for kicking a face mask. Neither one of them, your two best defensive players, basically were invisible in your biggest game of the season.
And, the Steelers' best players, right?
Yes.
Dupree, Shazier, had some days,
Man, oh, man. I sent you this earlier, and I was intrigued by it. Paul Daner Jr., the Inquirer, wrote about this extensively, and I want to boil it down to the simplest form to ask you about. He was breaking down the running game from what they get when they run out of the shotgun versus what they get when they run from under center. And, look, there's a lot of different reasons in different scenarios. If you're usually in short yardage, you'll be under center. Late in the game, trying to put the game away, you'll be under center. So that skews it a little bit. But the reality is, when they run from the shotgun, they average 5.4 yards a carry. When they run from Andy under center, they average 2.2. Is there anything you drew out of what Paul wrote, or anything you find intriguing or fascinating from that?
Well, let me start with this. I mean, the reason your shotgun versus under center, it's a trade-off, right? You go in the shotgun for the main reason, to give your quarterback a split second more time, right? He's already in his drop. He doesn't have to waste the, whatever, 0.8 seconds it is to drop back. Now, the reason you go under center, Alex Gibbs once said, I think it was Alex Gibbs, said that there can be no play action unless your quarterback is under center. And I can relate to that. Like, there's, like, true play action where the thing you want to accomplish is bringing the linebackers up and sucking up in the line. It has to be done under center. Peyton Manning was absolutely brilliant at it. So when you're in shotgun, you lose a little bit of that play-action nature. Now, why? It also is baffling because the other thing with in shotgun is it's a little less downhill.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's not that the eye backfield sort of thing. The running back is building up speed. It's catch the snap. Ball's in his – then he starts to run versus getting a little bit of momentum and going forward.
You do buy yourself that space for vision. If you're if you're Joe, you've got a little bit more. And I thought the great point Paul made, Joe Mixon carried in Baker Mayfield from the shotgun. He's used to that as what he did at Oklahoma. He'd get the ball from that formation.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's the other thing I was going to say was, but a lot of backs these days are used to that. You know,
yep.
If you had gone back, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I bet it'd be different. But most of these backs are comfortable with that. So, yeah, they're getting the ball while getting a little bit more look at the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, what you're used to is what you're going to be good at. I guess that would be the only thing
yes.
I can think of for why those
yeah.
stats say that.
Yeah. Would it be, I mean, is it a stretch to think, and I think Paul wrote they've operated out of the shotgun on 37% of their snaps, and I don't know the percentage they've done this, but what would you think about Andy out of the shotgun with Mixon on one side and Giovanni Bernard on the other? I mean,
yeah,
that's not crazy or far-fetched, is it?
No, not at all.
I mean it certainly provides options from that
right,
point.
Right, you see him do it all the time. I mean, Arizona State, who I have this weekend, they may have both number 7 and number 4 out there. Pick your poison.
Yeah.
Know, maybe they'll get both those guys involved. I think you and I, when we talked about, you know, Mixon and Gio and that combination, we would have loved to see that.
Yes.
So, why they don't, I don't know.
All right, before we hit news and you devour your root beer float that Steeler fan Woody has dropped off, I want to hit what many ask me to ask you about, and we've asked about it. I've asked you before, and it's simply the adjustments or lack thereof in the second half and the troubles the Bengals seem to have adjusting. And I was asked more than once this week, ask Rocky about what takes place at halftime and why adjustments seem to be so difficult for the Bengals. You've got what? NFL halftime is what, 15 minutes? Yeah, it's 15. 20?
No, 15, 12.
12, I'm thinking college versus 12 minutes.
What, 20 is half college.
That's right. What can you, in theory, get done in 12 minutes? What happens in a locker room at halftime?
I mean, not much, because it is a short amount of time.
Yes.
Usually you go in, the players use the bathroom, you know, get some Gatorade, you know, that sort of thing. The coaches go immediately together, and they talk, right? All the offensive
yes.
coaches say, what did you see? What did you this? You know, defensive coaches do the same thing. So they talk, okay, this worked, this didn't work. Come out. There's a board there, chairs set up for the offense, chairs set up for the defense. Hey, here's what we got to do. But here's my deal, Lance.
Yes.
We can't be waiting for halftime for the decisions to be made. If you're a surgeon in the middle of a surgery and it's going bad, do you wait till you're halfway through the surgery, or do you correct right away? If you're a bricklayer,
love it.
And do you wait until the entire wall is built or half the wall is built until you start, hey, man, these things aren't right, the foundation is? No, you immediately. And there's so many coaches out there. There's technology. There's cameras. There's iPads. There's coaches that.
Great point.
What the hell are they even there for? Well, this is the reason. They should be happening in between series. You
yes.
can't be waiting
yes.
until halftime to make the adjustments.
Well,
it makes no sense.
Let's keep in mind, I'm going to point out something obvious. Let's just take the offense, for example. While the Bengals' defense is on the field, Bill Lazor's got to be making adjustments. I mean, he's got to be talking with Andy, talking with the other, with Kyle Kasky, everybody else. You've got to be able to do it in real time and not wait till halftime.
And I assume that's going on. I don't assume that they're
right.
just everybody sitting there, but for whatever reason, it's not happening. The corrections are not being made. This is the beauty of football. This is how you get beat if you don't know this, if you don't do this, and let's make those corrections along the way. How many times have we had this
yep.
conversation?
Absolutely.
It's not the first time.
Absolutely.
Same as it ever was, right?
Same as it ever was.
So.
I was going to work on a project this week, Rock, and then I figured it'd make my head hurt. I was at Marvin's coached however many games. I was going to go through and figure out how many second halves they've been outscored in all the games he's coached, and then I thought I'd get very depressed, and I just stopped counting. But I'd love to know how many, and I'll look it up just over the course of the big picture, how many quarters.
I'm sorry to cut you off,
no,
but
no.
I'm just the wheels. So
yes.
I just wonder how much of that is Andy Dalton. I mean, he's the one's got to do it.
That's
right?
A good point,
I mean,
too.
It's one thing for the coach to know. It's the other thing for the, you know, Peyton Manning would come off the sideline. He'd go immediately to the desk. He'd get all those pictures. He'd start looking at them. He'd start drawing on them. He'd start showing, hey, Jeff, this is what you got to do. And Marvin, you need to do this. So is the shortcoming there? I don't know.
That's a very fair point. All right, get after that root beer float. We've put 1 hour in the books already. Man, we've got some good stuff coming up in hour number two. Check on news is ahead as well. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. On the home of the best Bengals coverage, News Radio 700 WLW.
Like good old-fashioned smash mouth. football, right?
This is the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Brought to you in part by Yuengling Lager. Respect, it's earned. Papa John's, the official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals. Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. CullenElectricCincinnati.com. Cullen Electric, wiring for today's world. Miami Valley Gaming. Get ready to get lucky. The Healthcare Management Group, providing greater care for greater Cincinnati. Nixco Plumbing. Choose a pro. Choose Nixco. Skyline Chili. Feeling good. It's Skyline time. Lycan's Energy Solutions. Powered by Life. Belterra Park. One amazing place to play. Hearing Solutions. Now acute hearing. Changing lives through better hearing. And by Furniture Fair. For style and flair, it's Furniture Fair. This is 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
And away we go. Hour number two unfolding from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Rocky Boyman, Lance McAllister, Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We do it every Thursday night from 6 to 8 o'clock. No Luke Fickell show tonight. I think Mo's in from 8 to 9 following us. Hey, join the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill every Bengals game day. The stadium transformed into Bengals Central. Bengals game day party features drink specials, DJ Airborne, giveaways, and a chance to win the game day top prize, all here at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. A lot of ground to cover in this hour. Rock, I know we were talking during the break. You have a fascination with a guest I'm going to have tomorrow night on Sports Talk at 7 o'clock. His name is Harvey Lewis. He's 41 years old. He is a teacher here in town at the School for the Creative and Performing Arts. I've had him on before. He's an ultra runner. And last weekend, he competed in a race, which is basically run until you're the last one standing. He ran on foot. He ran for 58 straight hours, 242 miles, and he finished second. Can you imagine for running for 58 straight hours?
No, not at all.
For 242 miles and not winning the race.
What is there a prize at the end, or is it?
You know what? That's a good question. I will ask him tomorrow night. I don't know if it's a cash prize, recognition, or what comes with it, but I've had him on before, and I'll have him on tomorrow night. 242 miles.
Ask him what the. I mean, there's got to be a lot of agony finishing.
Oh,
second,
can you imagine?
Right?
Oh,
have you ever seen the show? I love all those like outdoor like survival shows. Love them. There's a show called Alone. Have you seen that?
Yes.
One? So they. I remember the one they went to Patagonia, right? And it was, you know, 10 people. And it got down to the final two.
Oh.
And, I mean, could you imagine being the second one? Because as
no.
soon as you drop out, that guy wins.
No, I can't imagine.
But that is a tremendous challenge, and this one is as well.
And the way
this guy's incredible, though.
The way the intervals are set up, you have to complete a lap of 4.1 mile in a one-hour span, and whatever you have left over, which is usually 8 to 12 minutes, he said, you get to eat, you get to rest, you get to hydrate. But he said during the course of it, he started hallucinating. I mean, he's dehydrated. He 58 hours, maybe a little bit of a nap, a couple of minutes an hour, but 242 miles of running. And he said he started hallucinating during the race, but he snaps out of it and he finishes second. I mean, that point of agony where you just, I don't know if he actually drops to the ground and tags out and says, I'm done. And the other guy keeps going and, you know, he's won because he's the last one standing.
I mean, that's incredible. I can't wait to hear that tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, 7:05 on Sports Talk. I am interested in your reaction to one of the sidebar stories of Bengals Steelers was a column that appeared in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette from a guy who was in the Bengals locker room and wrote what he saw. Through his eyes, he saw, and I'm going to paraphrase here, at least a couple of Bengals players after the game in the locker room laughing and joking and, to this columnist's eyes, not taking the loss seriously. I added Lapp to four others I spoke to this week that were in the locker room. None of the five could confirm seeing what he wrote. I find it impossible to believe he made up the story just out of the blue. So somewhere between his version and everybody else's version may lie the truth. What did you make of his column?
I think it was, frankly, I thought it was very typical of what we see a lot in today's world. Is it's, you know, there's so much media out there that people aren't interested in the truth as much as they are a story. And how do you cut through? If you're a beat writer, I'm sure there's a lot of them, and everyone's writing the same thing. Okay, you know, Joe Mixon did this, and Le'Veon Bell said this. well, how can I cut through? How can I get something? Well, you say, I heard one guy kind of laughing. Well, maybe I'll make that a lot of guys happening to laugh, which is obviously very responsible. But, again, I think it's we see that more and more. It's not so much about the facts and the truth. It's what sort of story can I get viral? What can I get something that will make people's minds flip out, which we all did?
Yep.
But it's irresponsible. It's very irresponsible for that to happen. I just wonder if, you know, did he have an axe to grind? But I think part of it, at the end of the day, it was how can I cut through here and be something? That's what happened.
Take me inside a locker room. You won more games, certainly, than you lost in your career. But in those losses, not everybody, I think it's fair to say, the entire locker room is not going to be devastated. They're not going to be in tears. They're not going to be heartbroken. I would imagine in a typical locker room after a loss, there is a pretty wide range of how people deal with defeat.
Yeah, some people, I'd say a lot more, get mad. You know what I mean? You're mad and you're throwing stuff and you're upset because that's what you're there to do, is to win. So there's mad, there's disappointed, there's guys disappointed that they didn't play well regardless of the outcome. And there's also guys that just kind of look, man, hey, we'll get them next week. And there's nothing wrong with that. I would say as a player, if there was a guy that was outwardly laughing and you could tell it didn't matter to them, I think that thing, something would need to be said. But I can't imagine that's very many guys. All. But again, for folks to think that everyone's in there, you know, just ready to just, you know, quit everything because of they lost one game is ridiculous.
Right. I took it as, look, it's a Pittsburgh guy. We know the rivalry. We know the back and forth from both sides, fan bases, players, the whole thing. I took it as a guy who, could he have seen somebody with a smile on his face at a moment? Maybe there was something funny that was, look, I'm not expecting everybody to be dead serious the whole lot. Maybe there was a laugh about something. Maybe it was simply, boy, we suck today. And the guy said, man, we did. And just kind of a chuckle. Maybe it was a nervous laugh. Marvin has a nervous laugh. I just took it as that, and he took that snapshot and said, boy, this is going to play in Pittsburgh. I'm going to make it not just two guys maybe exchanging a moment of a smile. I'm going to make it the tone of the Bengals locker room was, and it just blew up from there because that's something to feed the fuel of Bengals Steelers.
But the sad part is it worked. I mean, Zeiss is this guy. I never knew this guy from Adam before.
Neither
then. Now all of a sudden I know him. I've looked into his Twitter. I've read his articles, and it's like, well, until there's some sort of repercussion for something like this happen, it's going to continue.
Like Von says, Burfict beating him up or something, maybe.
Well, yeah. He's already painted with that brush, so why not go further, right?
Let's talk.
And not just advocate for the harming of a beat writer, all you maniacs out there.
Let's talk defense. It is staggering to me to think that seven games into the season, this Bengals defense, which is for more often than not been very good, has forced a grand total of four turnovers, Rock. Four. And those are four interceptions because they haven't recovered a fumble the entire season. That's beyond odd and bizarre to me. I don't know how you explain that.
Especially in the NFL, because to me, when you start going through the reasons of the differences between college and pro football, that was the biggest one I saw right away. I'm like, God, these guys, every time they tackle, it's going for the ball, stripping the ball, all that, almost to a fault sometimes. I didn't really, until you kind of put the stat out there, I wasn't really paying attention, but I'm interested this week to watch when a tackle is made. Okay, first guy in, usually he's supposed to make the tackle. The next guy in is supposed to be batting, hammering, ripping, pulling that ball away.
Yep.
I can't recall that I've seen a ton of that. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but that's what needs that. I mean, it needs to be that next guy's in. It's got to be constantly doing it, because you see it. Teams throughout the league, hell, the Steelers do it. Those guys are always ripping, pulling away at that ball.
We were talking during the break. The NFL record for consecutive games without recovering a fumble is held by the Bengals. It's now 17. The previous record was 13 games. In the history of the NFL, the Bengals have now gone 17 without recovering a fumble.
Again, a lot of that is technique and making it a conscious decision to do that. But you know, sometimes those things can come in waves.
Yes.
Hopefully, that's the next thing that's coming.
There you go. Up next, let's talk about the mess that is the Indianapolis Colts. We think there's issues here. Holy cow! What is transpiring with the Indianapolis Colts? We'll get into that as we continue. 7:15. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show on News Radio 700 WLW. 7:19 on News Radio 700 WLW. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. It's brought to you in part by Hawksworth Blood Centers. Hawksworth donors save lives. Who will you save? Yuengling Lager. Respect. It's earned. Hearing Solutions. Now acute hearing. Changing lives through better hearing. Hey, Tuesdays in October, guests 50 years of age and older receive 25% off a buffet and are eligible to participate in the drawings from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eligible guests receive one free entry and can earn a second entry for 30 tier points. Every half hour, two vouchers will be drawn to select a mystery bonus reward amount off the wall, the prize wall, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Again, this season, for every Kevin Huber punt downed inside the 20-yard line, EverDry Waterproofing will make a charitable donation in Kevin's name. EverDry Waterproofing, they'll fix it permanently. Kevin, five punts for an average of 48.6 on Sunday, two more inside the 20-yard line. The Indianapolis Colts are 2-5, Rock, and they are a mess. They were shut out this past weekend by Jacksonville, 27-0, their first shutout since 1993. Jacoby Brissett was sacked 10 times. T.Y. Hilton was calling out the offensive line, saying basically, well, the receivers did their job. The offensive line's got to do their job. It's a dumpster fire right now in Indianapolis.
It is, and Pagano's going to get the axe here this year. I don't think there's any question about that. But, yeah, man, you know, I think we were having problems here in Cincinnati. Their offensive line is 10 times worse. Their quarterback situation is worse, obviously, because of because of Luck being out. But, you know, it's bad right now.
It looked like, I mean, you go back a couple of years, and they go through the Peyton Manning thing. They get Luck. It looked like it was going to be the perfect. It looked like it was going to be like a Joe Montana to Steve Young transition.
Yeah, almost to the point of being unfair, right?
Yes,
where the Bills are sitting here like, we haven't had anybody since Jim Kelly. You're going to get Peyton Manning and then Andrew Luck, Jim Irsay? Are you kidding me?
It looked like they were set up for a run for the next decade with multiple Super Bowls, and it just Luck, just the shoulder's not getting any better, and
the addressing of the offensive line is mind-boggling.
It's criminal. I don't know how you do it. When you have a commodity like Andrew Luck, how you don't commit more of your attention and resources to protecting that commodity is beyond me.
Yeah, because he's a guy that's shown he can. He doesn't need the best wide receiver. He just needs time. He needs some time to be able to deliver the football. He sees the field at an incredible, you know, otherworldly pace. But, yeah, I don't know the reason why.
Now, Sunday, you get two teams that are 2-5. You put them together, and what do you expect in terms of just, hell, let's just let it fly? And
That's a dogfight, man, because, both the teams, the organizations, their season is riding on this.
Yeah. You know,
whichever one wins at least has a little bit of hope. The loser says, we just lost to a team that's not playing good football right now. Not good.
How you were drafted by Tennessee. You wound up in Indianapolis. How did you wind up, and why did you wind up in Indy?
I played with the Titans for 4 years. Contract was up. Signed in the offseason. I had some teams interested in me, right? One of them was Indy. Wound up going to Dallas because they were going to pay me more money, frankly. So went through camp, broke a thumb in camp, missed about 2 weeks of training camp. It was a bad fit anyway. Got released.
Yep.
And, so the day I got released, it was the last day of cuts down in Dallas, and I got phone calls from three people. One was Jeff Fisher, said, hey, why don't you come back home? Two was some guy named Nick Saban with the Miami Dolphins.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. And the third one was Tony Dungy. And, at the time, it was weird because – it was like the most embarrassed I've ever been in my entire life, and I was hurt. You know what I mean? Like I'm a pretty good football player. Got cut.
You'd been cut in your life.
First time I've ever been cut after signing like a deal down there, right? And that usually doesn't happen. So I was kind of at a point where I was like, you know what? Kind of want to be closer to home a little bit. I love Tennessee, but I would have felt weird going back there. I was bringing my tail between my legs a little bit. Because other than that would have been a great situation.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll go to Indy, man. Plus, this Peyton Manning guy is he's pretty good. I've seen that for 4 years.
I can help him win a ring.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went up talking to Tony Dungy. He said, man, we'd love to have you. We loved you in the draft. And blah, 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 blah. And I said, I'll be there. And so, 24 hours later, I was you know, in a doctor's office in Indianapolis, get my physical, and next day was out for practice. That's how quick it happens.
What I can't remember when you were there. Robert Irsay was still alive, correct? Or had he passed on? Was it just Jim?
It was just Jim.
Just Jim.
Yeah.
What we've seen Jim on Twitter. We know a little bit about the Twitter version of Jim. What was Jim Irsay like as an owner?
He's crazy, but awesome. You know, all the guys love him. I always loved the fact that he was in the locker room after the game, win or lose, was in there to shake your hand. You know what I mean? Like, as you were coming off the field. So I thought that was cool. I've told you this story before. One of my favorite Irsay stories is when we had won the AFC Championship game.
Yep.
And that week of, I'm driving around Indy. I was on the highway there. And I turned flipping through the radio stations, and I heard some guy, and we're all going to go down there. We're all going to go to Miami, and we're going to be, you know, I mean, just going crazy. I'm like, God, who's this nut on the air? And it was Jim Irsay. And I was like, that's cool, man. That's our owner out there. Just it tickled to death and out there, you know, really promoting his team. So good guy. Eccentric guy, but really
yeah.
cool.
You couldn't ask for, I would imagine, a better tag team combo in terms of guys you respect and know the game, and I would imagine would have been just great to be around in Bill Polian and Tony Dungy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mr. Polian is the best. He knows so much in football, and it's cool that the rest of the world is getting to see that now that he's on ESPN.
Yeah,
I mean, anytime he's on, I stay in my car longer or whatever. I got to because I know he knows football, and Tony Dungy was tremendous coach. You know, I mean, he was he doesn't get credit for the amount of football he knows, because, I mean, oh, he's a great guy, of course he is, but he also knows football and been around a lot of it, and he and I had a really, really kind of unique, cool relationship, so it was neat.
I always thought when I thought of Dungy when I heard Bengals players talk about Mike Zimmer when Zimmer was here, and you tell me, we've talked about this before, the sense of such a level of respect for Bengals with Zimmer, you guys with Tony, that nobody wanted to let Tony down, almost like it would be letting your dad down.
No, that's exactly how I describe it. It was like, you know, he'd give you that, you know, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed look, and you're like, you know how it is, and your dad gives you that, Lance, right?
Man.
Sort of the same thing, because you knew it mattered to him, but you knew that you as a person mattered to him even more, and so you're like, God, if I didn't give a, I knew there was a, let's just say there was a player who on a Friday night had gone out drinking, and I think he'd gotten in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he called us up like at walkthrough that next morning, and almost like had tears, and like the rest of us are, I'm like, oh my God, how could he do this, but how could we all let him
wow.
do this? You know what I mean?
It was
pretty powerful, man. It was.
One of your teammates there just signed with Seattle this week at the age of 37, Dwight Freeney, still
seeking
quarterbacks. Tell me about Dwight Freeney. Now, is he the one who would take his own food with him on the plane?
He would take his own food to a restaurant.
That's it, to a restaurant.
So we would go to, like, say, Capital Grill, right, in Indianapolis. You know, and they have some good food there at Capital Grill, and it'll set you back a little bit, too. But he'd bring like a pork chop, like in a big pork chop in a Tupperware thing. And he'd have his own seasoning, like his own special sea salt, special seasoning. He would give this to the chef, and he would cook it because he was a part of some weird diet. Like, and, you know, he did weird things.
It's bring your own steak night at the Capitol.
Yeah, it was totally bizarre. I mean, he's going to a great restaurant doing, but that's kind of, it's amazing to see him still out there, man. But he was a guy that, you know, took really good care of his body.
Yep.
He's a different cat, but that's what makes him. So it makes him who he is, man. He's a good dude.
That's good stuff. Hey, guests of all ages are welcome to dine at Market Buffet and at Favorite Steak and Pasta. Guests under the age of 21 with adult supervision must receive a wristband from security before entering the gaming floor located in the West Concourse by Nosh for admittance. And don't forget, Burger Brothers is now open 7 days a week until 6 a.m. Be sure to try what we highly recommend, the new Club 21 burger. Hashtag Club 21. Up next, Rock, let's get into the, as much has been made, written, and said about NFL ratings as they relate to anthem protest. I want to present the other part of perhaps the equation, and that is the quality of play or lack thereof around the NFL. Let's do that next. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on the home of the best Bengals coverage. News Radio 700 WLW. 7:35 on News Radio 700 WLW. Let's check the early odds for this week's game presented by Rising Star Casino and Resort. Play, stay, and get away at Rising Star Casino and Resort in Rising Sun, Indiana. Baltimore tonight is a 3-point favorite at home to the Miami Dolphins. The Browns at home to the Vikings on Sunday are a 9.5-point underdog at home. The Bengals are up to a 10.5-point home favorite over the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. Time to review last week's Performance Kings Honda Performer of the Week, brought to you by Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face, every customer, every vehicle, every day. We'll go with Joe Mixon. 7 carries, 48 yards, 6.9 yards per carry, including a long of 25. And finally, we'll salute Tyler Croft, the Environmental Demolition Group Player of the Week. Environmental Demolition Group, your single-source environmental and specialized demolition service company. Go to edgellc.biz. Tyler Croft, 4 targets, 4 more catches, and a touchdown.
He's emerging, man.
He really is.
Good for him.
Go-to guy, reliable, dependable, catches the ball, holds on to it.
Well, what year is this for him? Third?
This would be third year. Yep, the magic third
year
for Tyler Croft. How about that? Hey, don't forget Friday nights at Market Buffet or all-you-can-eat crab legs from 4 to 9 p.m. And don't forget to stop by Stadium Sports Bar and Grill on Tuesdays for live trivia starting at 8. Rock much has been made, and rightfully so. It stirred up a hornet's nest. It's still buzzing around the anthem protest as a factor in part of the equation for the decline in ratings to this point. I saw a note today, though. The NFL ratings compared to 2015. You know, there was a lot of debate about last year and the role the election played in drawing people away from games. They went back 7 weeks in 2 years ago compared to 7 weeks in this year. Ratings are off 18%. 18%. Some will say, and I think it's fair to say, the anthem protest certainly plays a role in that. There are people who are honked off and just have turned their back and walked away. I wonder, though, if we're not underselling or under-evaluating the aspect of the quality of play around the NFL this year. Oh, man.
There's some bad
football being played.
3 shutouts last week.
Yeah, and a game with just field goals between, Tennessee and Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, look, just like anything powerful, any business that's powerful, it's never one thing, right? It's a combination of a lot of things. Of course, the anthem, as much as people want to deny it, the anthem protesting is a factor. It pisses off the core audience. But with that said, I think it is. It's the excitement of the game. It's the lack of star power. It's the sloppiness, which we've talked at length about the offensive line and the 2011 CBA. I also think oversaturation is a part of it. You know, it's so funny. You would think, well, if people want something, well, let's give them more of it. Well, you know, it's like giving people ice cream. It's not always the best thing to get. Eventually you get full. And I think that's what people are right now. It's Thursday game. It's a bunch of Sunday games. It's Monday night games. Games in London. There's games all the time. I think people are like, God, give me another choice. Give me something else. Soccer is another reason, right? People are tuned in more to that than they were 5 years ago. So, again, there's probably, you know, 6, 8, 10 factors that are going on this, but you're right. The numbers say interest in the NFL is down.
Star power, you mentioned. J.J. Watt, done for the year. Odell Beckham Jr., done for the year. Aaron Rodgers, perhaps done for the year. There's a whole lot of star drain from that standpoint.
How about give me a star quarterback under the age of 40?
Great point.
Right?
That's the fear. We've talked so much about guys coming out of college and the adjustments and the spread and everything. They're dealing with sure, you have Deshaun Watson, who's dazzling, but you also have a Mitch Trubisky who in like 2 weeks is completely like 5 passes or whatever it is. They're just not there. There's a big gap. You know, Russell Wilson's playing well, and there's some guys who are holding up the far end, but there's a big blob in the middle of a lot of poor quarterback play.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a quarterback-driven league. We all know that. And if you don't have a ton of, you know, just star power at that position, it's going to suck. Yeah, so again, a ton of factors.
And we're talking about lack of scoring. This is a league designed the way they've tilted the rules. It's everything's tilted to score, and more score, and yet we have shutouts and field goal games right now.
When's the last time the NFL Rules Committee in the offseason passed a rule that favored the defense?
Right.
Never. Right? It's never happened. It's always something to make more scoring, more points, easier to complete passes. You would think by that rationale. Well, and the other thing, too, we talked about this a couple weeks ago with, because of what's coming from college and the style of play and the lack of time to be able to work with guys, you're getting, you know, boring offenses. A lot of bubble screens and one steps and high efficiency type completion sort of throws, and not like, you know, not necessarily scoring at big time points.
Yes. You know, I was I laughed because I was watching on ESPN.com today a piece by John Gruden about the whole reduction in time to practice and OTAs and all that stuff. And John Gruden made the point. He said, what sense does it make if somebody wants to work on their craft and wants to show up at your facility and you've got billion-dollar facilities? He says, what sense does it make to say, oh, no, you can't, we've reduced your time to get better? He says, you wouldn't tell a Harvard professor you can't show up at class for X number of days. You can't work. He says, no. In no other line of work do we say, no, we're cutting back the time that even if you want to get better, we're cutting back your opportunities to work on your craft to get better.
I've been saying this for years. And the example I give is a law firm, right? Just some hotshot, you know, law student comes out of Stanford Law. He's going to go to McAllister and McAllister Law Firm, right? Some big time law firm.
Yes.
You're going to pay him a ton of money.
No, I'm not.
And he walks in. He walks in the door and says, "Hey, Mr. McAllister, I'm ready to go. Teach me everything. Let me get in here. Let me learn. Let me soak this all up." And you go, "No, we can't talk to you now, but like next month we can talk to you for a few days, and then we'll wait another month." And no, it doesn't work that way. You're paying guys money; they want to learn, they're eager to learn, but you, by the rules of the game that the players themselves passed with the NFL, the CBA. Are you kidding me?
It's
no other industry in the world that operates like that.
Absolutely not. All right, when we come back, I want to take you back to perhaps you've dried out. You're no longer rain-soaked from Pullman, Washington. I want to do Rocky's Road about that and get your thoughts on Sam Darnold of USC and much more. 7:42. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at Belterra Park, the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill on News Radio 700 WLW. 7:45 on News Radio 700 WLW. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Rocky Boyman, Lance McAllister. Coming up 8 o'clock, no Luke Fickell show this week. Mo Egger in from 8 to 9 tonight. And then Jeff Walker with the nightcap from 9 to midnight. For a limited time, Market Buffet will be offering theme nights for dinner. Monday, Clam and Oyster Bar. Tuesday, Taco Tuesday. Wednesday, Turf and Surf. Thursday is International
Day. Say Turf
night.
And Surf.
Turf and Surf. That's what it says. There you go.
Surfing.
Thursday is International Night with your favorite dishes from around the world. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. You were on the road last week, far, far away. I even made it a point. I kept looking at the clock, and I'm watching the World Series game. And I said, wait a minute, Rocky's coming on about 10:45. I made it a point, and you'll be happy to know I told you this earlier in the week. My mom from Marietta, Georgia, said, I want to see Rocky and what the weather conditions are like. She watched the start of the game until she saw you. I think, one, to make sure you were safe, and two,
she's
to make sure just how bad the weather was. It was rather challenging from a weather standpoint.
Yeah, I've never been in, certainly doing a game, never been in weather like that, but it was.
This is Pullman, Washington for Washington State against
Colorado. He's not good at football. But, it was 39 degrees. constant rain, and then wind gusts. Like, there'd be no wind, and then something would just pop up. So it was.
You did your first hit, and they had the weather graphic down in the corner and said winds gusting at 40 miles an hour. And, and I took a picture and tweeted it out because the rain, you're standing there like this. The rain is blowing sideways across the TV screen.
It really was. I had a lot of fun, though, because like when else am I going to get out to do a game like that? That's unique. And
there you go.
You know, part of my job that day was just to show how the conditions were affecting the players, right? And, you know, certain gloves they were wearing, which didn't make a difference. No one could catch a damn thing. You know, the quarterbacks and how they're handling the ball and their hand size. So it was cool in that sense. Now, I'm not looking forward to having another game like that this week, but it was neat. We got to be out there with Coach Mike Leach, who's one of the most interesting characters, not just in football, but in sports. As a head
for
coach.
Those who don't know the backstory, Tim, what is it that makes him unique? Describe his personality.
He's like a beautiful mind.
Yes,
you know what I mean. We're like he's in another dimension. Like talking, but again, he's super smart. He's been the innovator of an entire offensive system called the Air Raid. He took it from Hal Mumme and made it kind of his own. But then he's also got these. He gets on this whole tangent. I asked him a question about his walks to work because he walks like 3 miles of work every day. And he talks about the nature and this. He talks about going to a graveyard and seeing all these goth kids there and talking. I mean, it was just totally bizarre. But he's like can't miss when he, in terms of an interview, man. He's really cool.
And be truthful here. When you're out in those conditions like you were Saturday night in a game that lasts maybe three and a half hours, do you at any point take cover? Is there a shelter you can duck into, or are you in the elements for the entire time except halftime?
I'm in the elements the entire time because that's my job. I don't know. I would feel much less of my. I would think less of myself.
I would think less of you as well.
All right, damn straight. If I would run going for cover and all that, you got to make sure you have the proper equipment and waterproof shoes and all that, but then after that, man, you're out there.
I can see the drill. Take camera three, show Rocky cowering in the corner in a little tent.
Sit there, hold my knee.
Little pop tent, Rocky inside of it. Little grill, the heat.
Yeah, it goes little furnaces. Fire, like a fire bin.
That's beautiful.
Oh, man.
You have who on Saturday?
This is pretty cool, Lance. Same thing, Pac-12 after dark, but we have USC at Arizona State.
Ooh,
both are kind of like, this is a battle for the Pac-12 South. Arizona State started off 2-3, awful, giving up. They've gone like 11 straight games, giving up 30 points a game, but then they beat Washington. Last week they beat Utah, so they're like back in the mix. And then USC, they got destroyed. I mean, destroyed by Notre Dame, which I took pleasure in last week. But other than that, they have, the best quarterback in the land, and Sam Darnold, in a really, really good team. So it should be a great game.
I'm interested in your thoughts on Darnold, because today Mel Kiper on his big board dropped Darnold from number one down to, I think, 5 or 6.
He dropped him below Rosen.
Yeah, dropped him below the UCLA quarterback.
Okay, that's ridiculous. I mean,
well, do tell. Tell me. Run with that.
No, I mean, and this is what's crazy about the media. They get on a story, and I know he has 17 touchdowns. He has 10 interceptions, which is not good.
And 6 fumbles.
And 6 fumbles. So he turns a baller. But take all that out. Mm-hmm. And I know you can't take that out. But I'm just talking, like, let's examine the talent that he is.
Mm-hmm.
I've never personally in my years covering football seen a college quarterback that good.
Really?
I'm talking that skill level. And write down what I just said, because in 5 years when he's winning Super Bowls and setting records, remember I said this, okay?
Ooh.
I mean, just everything. He's got that – everything you want in a quarterback. He's got the – he can move. He can move with his legs and make things happen. He's got that sixth sense in the pocket where he can – a quarterback, you got to feel the rush. Some a lot don't. He feels that. Incredible arm, like you can tell he knows where to go with the ball. Like he understands the game like at a different level, like the same way Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Andrew Luck do. Very, very impressed with him. I mean, he's got an unbelievably quick release. I couldn't be higher on the kid.
Mel Kiper moved Saquon Barkley up to number one on his big board. He's got Josh Rosen of UCLA 2. He has Derwin James, safety, Florida State.
Derwin James hasn't been playing that
3.
Good.
Yeah. I'm going to keep going because you're getting all worked up.
Damn.
He's got Minkah Fitzpatrick,
okay,
defensive back,
one.
Bam,
yeah,
at 4. And then he's got your guy, Sam Darnold,
okay,
dropping
well, okay,
from 1 down to 5.
Well, that's, okay, but let me just say, if we were in that situation and you're up there in the mix for that, you go get that Sam Darnold kid.
He writes, I think Darnold has a chance to be special. I believe in his long-term talent, but he's got to get his turnover issues sorted out. The rumblings of him returning to school, remember he's only a third-year sophomore, writes Kiper, are now too loud to ignore.
Right. Well, and the part of it, look, there's two freshmen on the offensive line. They've been banged up. He's really only had one receiver. Dante Burnett has been like a true, like, legitimate weapon. Two other guys are emerging a little bit. His running back, Ronald Jones, has been banged up a lot of the year. So, I mean, there's a lot of excuses, but look, a lot of it is he's got to be better. The thing with him, Lance, is he forces throws, but he forces them because he believes in his heart and his mind that he can make every single throw. I'm going to do a highlight package on my Rocky's Corner thing,
yes,
and I'll show you some great plays, man. Like where it's like, how did he do that? But he thinks he can make every throw, so therefore he throws into coverage. He throws into double coverage. But I personally would rather have a quarterback that's fearless than a quarterback that's, let's just
passive,
take a safe throw,
yep,
or let's do this. No, yep. I want that guy that's going to try to take your heart out.
By the way, two of your Notre Dame offensive linemen are in the top 11. Hear that, Bengals?
Now, wait a minute. Were you the same guy that was dogging me when I released my preseason top 10 and I said that Notre Dame was number 10?
I might have said you were biased.
Yeah. they're playing
Notre
pretty
Dame's
good.
Pretty good, yeah. Quentin Nelson, the guard, is number 11, and he's got McGlinchey at number 9. Man, you've done a lot. Have you done Boston College this year?
I have not.
Okay, wait a minute. I know you've done NC State.
Yeah, that guy,
Bradley Chubb. He's got him 7. You've seen, like, Mel's, like, top 10 right now.
Seen Derwin James. I have not seen Josh. I've seen Josh Rosen now. Equally, I mean, another very good quarterback, but he's more of he's a strict pocket guy, and I like him. He's the same thing. He's fearless in that he's not afraid to take a shot. Like, he stands there, and he's going to get killed if he's not, but we give him credit. But if I had to choose, knowing what I know about today's NFL and how crappy the offensive line play is, I would want a guy that's going to be able to move around and escape a little bit. That's Sam Darnold. That's why I would take him over Rosen. Right now, if I was a GM.
And you've seen Clemson. You did Clemson, too. Christian Wilkins. He's number 12 on Mel Kiper's board.
Could play in, could play tackle. Wow. Who else have I had?
Calvin Ridley, Alabama. You've had Alabama. Yeah. Jeez, Rock, you should do your own big board. Screw Mel Kiper. I want to read Rocky's big board. There's another Clemson guy.
Cleveland Farrell.
Yeah. And the running back, Damian Harris of Bama. Wow, all right.
Had some good games.
We're out of time. This was a blast. Yeah, let's do it again next week. Have safe travels, and we'll talk about Rocky's Road next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Lance.
All right, thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. It's been the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, on the home of the best Bengals coverage, News Radio 700 WLW.